Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of Dr. Drew After Dark, where, first person to be abused on this show will be me, probably. We break down answers from our listeners, or questions rather, from our listeners. I try to answer them. We break down weird videos, as is the tendency on your mom's house, and this is, of course, an offshoot of that. And we will analyze comedians who agree to put themselves in front of me so I can break them down a little bit. I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted my first guest is Christina P. It is a deep honor. You have no idea.
Are you kidding me? You're the deep
honor. I'm so excited. And Christina is the kind of person I want for this show, because not only is she a brilliant, talented comedian, cameras were starting to warm up, and she leaned over and she goes, how do you feel about people that are into scat porn? How do you feel about that?
Yeah. What do you think? Who's into scat? What do you think about McAfee? I mean, he had Latin ladies dumping in his mouth. Think about this. He wants to run for president.
When people ask questions like that, I think I'm already getting overheated here. I think to myself,
love it.
I'm thinking to myself, it's your friend is in the scat porn, no, Christina P.
No. This is going to be the best podcast in the history of podcasts. Drew.
And I want to remind everybody, you can subscribe and review on iTunes. Also, check us out at youtube.com/yourmomhousepodcast, your mom's house podcast. Friday, this video will go up every Friday. So you look for it there. And we want you to participate in it, too. You can send in emails. I'm going to read some emails in a second. Voice messages. We're going to have call-in eventually. And, of course, videos. Where do they send the videos?
Yeah, where do we send the blue band?
Yeah, send them over to drdrewafterdark@gmail.com.
And if you don't want me sharing them with your mom's house, specify.
Because
secret ones here. Because your most sensational masterpieces, no doubt, will get ripped off by you guys. So, and vice versa. I want to use some of your stuff. So, again, I want to thank you and Tom for allowing me to do this.
Are you kidding me?
It's really a privilege. How did this happen? How did this come to mind?
Are you kidding? I mean, I've been listening to you for a million years, and you're just you're a great public service to humanity. And
why am I here then? It did not seem like the place. It did not seem like
why
the
are you here? You're here because we loved it's having not, you so much on your mom's house, and the audience loved you and loved your reaction to the clips. And you broke down what was going on in these clips that we all fell in love with. And so we thought, why not just give you your own show where you can be horrified every week by the clips we're enjoying, break them down, and tell us what the heck is going on.
And not just horrified, to be fair, by the clips themselves, but also your calls, your emails, and the comedians themselves.
And the people who listen to this show. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we'll get into it. Our first segment, we're going to go to fan questions, calling it. You can email us at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. Again, drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. Or call, leave a voicemail. The number for that is 818-253-1693. Again, it's 818-253-1693. First question, Christine, you can help me with this. High and Tight is the title of this one.
Sounds good.
From Megan, I have a serious question. Is there any medical risk to wearing your jeans too high and tight? I don't want to disappoint the mommies, but I also don't want to put any of my body at risk.
Yes, the answer is I'm not a medical doctor.
Well, you've had experience with high and tight, no?
Have you seen? Oh, heck yeah. Okay. Have you seen Cardi B's Instagram where she just had to take her tight jeans off?
Yes.
She's these be squeezing my pussy.
Yeah, pussy got to breathe. Yeah. Pussy breathing, is I believe what she said.
That's right. Wow, yeah. You're a huge fan. I didn't realize.
This is the best audience I've ever had.
It's phenomenal.
I hope you ought to put the laughter on the air.
Well, they can hear him.
Okay, aren't they good?
Yeah.
You know, I fell in love with her with the What the Fuck You Do With My Money video.
Okay.
Did you see that one?
I don't know that one. I don't know that
one. Can we play that one? You guys find it should be easy to find. It's just Cardi B and Taxes.
We don't have internet yet, but we will soon.
Pretty soon.
Well, look up Cardi B and Taxes.
Yeah, and she talked about McDaniels, too. That was pretty great. She's so funny, man.
What a wild and nefarious life. Yeah.
I know.
If I were a betting man.
Yeah.
peace and love and peace and love. I say yes. this and, yes. and any of your Stern fans out there, I'm imagining there's a little crossover with that organization. Peace and love is something that Ringo Starr said in a rare moment of aggravation.
Yeah, I will not be signing autographs.
Peace and love. Yes. Peace and love. Peace and love, you assholes. Yes. Peace and love. I'm going to guess that there's going to be a little bit of a something going down in flames sooner than later before Cardi B. And I'm
with
a fan.
Cardi B. Do you mean psychologically? Yeah.
You know, too much going on.
Well, I've heard you discuss this, and didn't you write a book on the nature of celebrity and social media?
As part of it. Yeah. Celebrity narcissism was really
right.
My book,
But in your book, you mentioned how back in the day, the studio would protect the talent, meaning, you know, if Marilyn Monroe was a narcissist or bipolar you didn't know. Hey, they can do it. The celebrity can undo themselves.
Well, it's even worse than that. Now, Howard Stern was talking about this the other day. He said, can you imagine Mick Jagger having to do, Instagram like Cardi B does? I mean, what would that be?
Oh, I know.
Led Zeppelin, here I am.
Oh. I know. So what do you think is going to happen to Cardi? What's your prediction?
I just see a crisis coming. Some sort of
meltdown,
explodega, something.
Because you can't be this famous this fast. Is that what you're thinking?
It's not even that. It's the you know, kid and money and touring, and I'm going to bet some substance gets in there.
No.
I'm going to bet. And her history with trauma and stripping, and it just all does. You don't go through life like that. Humans need simple lives.
Yeah.
This show will not be about that, just for the record. That's not what this one's about. And so when you get too much craziness going on and trauma and acting out in all kinds of ways, a crisis hits. Something hits.
Yeah, so it's going to come to a head. Now, do you think, because she shares an awful lot.
Yeah, and everything.
Too much.
Breathing pussy. We haven't answered the tight jean question yet.
Oh, right. But sorry, one more thing before we answer the tight pussy. Yeah.
The tight pussy? It was the tight jeans.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So do you think that, the oversharing, I mean, what's that? Lack of boundaries?
What's that, yo?
Yeah, yo. What's up with her? Come on, Dr. Drew. You smart stuff.
It has something to do with what goes under the general heading of the coddling of the American mind.
Yes, I got into this.
Jonathan
Go ahead.
Haidt and his stuff. Yes. Excellent. Too much screens. Too much feeling as though you can project yourself out in the world. Too much narcissism. Not enough intimacy. And it's somehow your existence has to be projected in the world or you don't exist.
Barf, yeah.
And I don't know yet. We don't really know fully what's going on here. It's happening as we speak. So, yes, yeast infections and hemorrhoids mostly what I worry about.
Hemorrhoids?
Those things go right on, you know.
Right on
your culo.
Interesting.
Thank you for the Spanish.
Also multilingual on
this
show.
Yes, we are indeed.
Yes, yeasties. What about UTIs?
Yeah, UTI, it would be a... Boy, why is that funny
really
to them?
Like
they're an easy audience.
They're children. Yes. They're children.
Well, that makes them good audience.
sorry, guys.
UTI, yes, maybe because you're rubbing that whole area and that pushes bacteria back up in. And yes, so UTI. Usually not a young person thing so much, but if you're older folk, yeah, you can get that.
Don't wear tight jeans, guys.
Bumpy penis. Hi, Dr. Drew. Bumps in my penis that developed when I was growing up. They never hurt or caused issues with sexual partners. I have got an STD check and it showed negative and everything. Just curious, what are these small bumps? Let's get physical with medicine. Thanks, Dr. Spencer.
Dr. Spencer? No, this guy can't be.
Thanks, Dr. Spencer.
Oh.
The importance of punctuation.
Yes, thank you for my provisional reading. He's been checked for STDs, so that's good. Now I know that it's not herpes or warts or anything like that. So what they typically are pearly penile papules.
Wow. Just blew my mind. I've never heard of that.
Four-day spots also, but those are pigmented. And he doesn't say pigment. He said these sort of, you know, these things that are just noticed in there. Yeah, pearly penile papules. You know, to our peanut gallery, when we get internet, you're going to put up pictures of these things for me when I talk about it.
Right away, doctor.
Because if you just look up pearly penile papule, you get these. They're usually kind of symmetrical. They're sort of around the tip a little bit, typical. Though not necessarily. They can also come around the base. And they're just these little... They're essentially clogged glands, essentially.
Penile glands.
Penile glands, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they look like little warts sometimes. Mm. And so people get very concerned they have warts. So,
well, good for him for getting checked because from what I understand, a lot of young gentlemen don't often go to the doctor. They're like, I got these bumps, so well.
Males generally don't go to the doctor.
Oh,
we have, you got something to tell me?
No, he's good. I married somebody who has very good self-care.
Which is weird. What's wrong with that?
I'm gonna find out later. I can't wait.
Make mental note, gentlemen.
But boys don't get checked out.
Well, men don't. Men, we have this. It's just like looking for directions. Same exact mindset, which is it's either going to kill me or it's going to go away. So if it starts to kill me, then I'll go. But if it goes away, I don't worry about it.
Yeah,
and that's why people get tertiary syphilis right there.
What's tertiary syphilis?
Well, syphilis starts as a shaggy ulcer, painless typically.
On your peener.
Wherever you touch somebody else's stuff. It happened on your mouth. It can happen all kinds of places. And it goes away after about a week or so. And so men just go, phew, go on. But then it can go back as secondary syphilis, which is a rash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little more serious. And then it goes away again. Mm. And then it can come back as tertiary syphilis where it's infecting your brain.
Well, that's what Nietzsche had, right?
He had something like that. But thank you for saying that because... Because who taught you that? Teach you that in England?
A philosophy major.
But in England, they teach you that?
No, or? America.
Okay, because most philosophers go, he was so distraught by the death of God that it drove him crazy.
No.
It's like, no, he was hitting all his psyche. Yeah, he was trying to eat a horse or
beating
talking
a horse
to the horse
or something.
Yeah, that's encephalopathy. That's a brain disorder.
Yes,
please.
And he hated women. He hated his sister is what I heard.
Well, that was before the encephalopathy.
Yeah.
Well, he just hated women because he lived around all of them.
That's
the
right. Well, broads. Am I right? Okay, fucking chicks are dumb. Okay. Can I ask you one question?
Isn't
medical?
This my show?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Herpes.
Yeah.
You can still contract it if you wear a condom.
Yes. It's if you wear a condom and take Zovirax, it's not likely.
Okay.
It's very unlikely.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And it is terrifically common. It's a lot of it out there. And a lot of people don't know they have it or figure it out much later because it's pretty mild in most cases. And people just kind of, we just go, oh, it's going to go away. I know it. And it does. And then that's that. And then,
doesn't go away.
Doesn't go away. It comes back, but usually gets better as you age, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, but
I'm sorry,
again, the reason, when I first started getting involved in radio, one of my sort of initiatives was to sort of teach people, look at the skin rash, it'll go away, don't freak out, no big deal. There's this other thing coming. This was 1984.
Mm.
There's this other thing. We used to call it GRIDS. We're now calling it AIDS, acquired immune. I mean, literally, that's what I was telling people. I said, that you have to worry about. Mm. That's a serious illness. And no one was talking to young people about it.
No.
Thus, I got behind a mic.
It was believed to be just the gay disease, right?
Well, no, I mean, that was the sort of public discourse. I knew better. I was a fourth year medical student. I knew better, right? And so I just thought people needed to talk to young people about it because they were not talking about it. It was a weird time when you didn't talk to adolescents about sex and relationships.
Yeah, and then it went the opposite route where there was such hysteria surrounding getting HIV and AIDS that by the time I got into college in the early 90s, I was petrified to have sex with anybody.
Right. Everybody was going to have
get
it.
AIDS. Yeah.
Everybody was scared. So. It became like reefer madness a little bit.
Right.
And then people backed off that and went, well, now I'm not going to believe anything you guys say. And that's kind of where we're at now.
Where kids aren't using condoms. Mm-hmm. I've heard you discuss this before.
Mm. Well, let's go to voicemail. Let's hear a voicemail here. What do we got here?
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Quick question. My wife got molluscums around her naughty area. And we've done everything else besides have sex. But it's just kind of getting boring. Should I just give in and accept that I'm going to get molluscums too, or just figure out a different way? Any advice would help. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what is it? Nordstrom's?
I like he says molluscums.
What?
Molluscum.
What is that?
Molluscum contagiosum. It is it's a little virus. It causes these little, sort of looks like zits, except when you scrape them, a little hard knot comes off, like a little nodule comes out of them.
Okay.
They are a big nothing.
Oh.
You said it's your wife. Why don't you share with her what the hell difference it make? I'm a little weirded out. And usually they control it by just the doctor just kind of burns them off or scrapes them off, and that's the end of it.
So it's not
going to... It's a nothing.
It's a
nothing burger.
Oh.
So you have sex with your wife. You did say wife, right?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Is there another voicemail? Got something else?
Hi, Dr. Drew. This is Charles. Sometimes if I haven't masturbated in about 2 weeks, when I take a dump and I push really hard, jizz will come out of my penis. What? I don't feel the ejaculation. The jizz just comes out.
Yep.
Is that normal? Should I see a doctor? Thanks.
No, not necessarily. Because all right, I'm going to give Christina a little anatomy and physiology lesson here.
Okay.
It's not funny yet, gentlemen. God, not everything.
I'm so excited that you're talking.
That's
I love
what you're
this.
Laughing at.
No,
okay.
I love
so,
it.
So people, comedians like to use your testicles as though they're some sort of like a reservoir that squeezes and ejaculate comes out of it.
Right.
Okay. The testicles that sit in the scrotum is an organ.
Right.
It's an organ that just essentially produces sperm cells,
mm-hmm.
not semen. Sperm cells.
Right.
Right. And those cells, those billions and billions of little cells, make their way up the vas deferens and get dropped in little by little into the semen.
Okay.
The semen is made by the prostate gland, and it collects in something called the seminal vesicles, which sit under and behind the prostate gland, these reservoirs. And if those are all full up, well, guess what's right next to the seminal vesicles?
Your boner?
No. Your rectum.
Oh!
You see, so when the stool goes through the rectum,
right,
it pushes against those vesicles and a little bit of semen leaks out.
Whoa!
How about that? So, it could also be that the prostate is so irritated that there's a lot of sort of activity going on there.
Okay.
And so that too can push a little
so
prostatic
what you're telling me
out.
Is poop pushes the cum out.
That's what I'm telling you.
That's a huge revelation.
Farts do not push the poo out, but poo pushes the cum out. You got it.
That's the clip.
Can we diagram this? Shall we diagram it?
Yeah.
Let's diagram it. So thank you. We've now made the first episode worth our time.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
God, that was the best moment of my life.
So good. Is that it for the voice messages?
Yes, that is it for the voice messages.
All right. So are we going to take a break before we come back with the clip? Should we do that?
Sure. Yeah. Let's take a quick break.
Big quick break. And we'll be back with crazy clips from Your Mom's House podcast. Oh, after this. And welcome back to Dr. Drew After Dark, the premiere episode, the inaugural episode with my
exciting.
Dear guest, Christina P., whom because of her, we are here today. So thank you for that.
And Tom Segura.
And Tom Segura. Yeah, he's part of the deal, too. And this is segment two, where we look at the crazy clips from Your Mom's House. So let's get right to it.
Hi there, guys. It's Pete again. And I'm here to do a little video. I wanted to use this butt vibrating toy that I bought, this new one, and I thought I'd try that in. And then I also wanted to try this double-ended fuck sleeve that has these like massive bullets in them.
Bullets? Vibrating bullets or something?
Yeah, he and a buddy.
Why did you call it during the break, Christina? You called him Terry.
Right, that's the name that we've given him. I don't feel he's born a Pete. He looks more like a Terry.
He
if you
does look
at
like
him.
A Terry.
Yeah,
or a,
he's
or
not
a,
Pete.
Yeah, Jim comes to mind too. Or
sure.
Something. Yeah, but
sure.
Not Pete.
But first, I'm going to try and get this in my butt and then turn it on. And it's even got this cool little remote control. And let's just see what happens, okay?
Oh, what do you think?
It's got a nice texture to it. I think it'll be easy to go in.
Duh!
A nice built-in back frame, which I thought was kind of cool.
Do I have to hear that?
Right.
Right. Oh my God.
What part do you like the best?
The sound.
Of the
whatever that was, did not need to hear that.
I know. I feel the same way.
No, you don't. You brought me here to hear it.
Look at his face. Watch his face.
But
don't look away.
Kind of a good
look
at it. So it may take me a minute.
He's got to look to the other way.
What's he doing?
He's putting stuff in his butt.
I haven't had anything in my butt since my last butt toy video.
Stop this. My fascination with this guy is he believes he's doing a community service.
Thank you.
This is
thank you.
Oh, here I am trying out this new Porsche 911, everybody.
Right.
It's like, today I'm putting a butt plug in too. I was like, I'm just a product analyst.
Right. He's like, well, I'm just making a chicken cutlet today. No biggie.
On one hand, I'm like, good on you for sexual practices and taking care of yourself and stuff. But I'm so freaking creeped out. I almost want to. I can't stand
well,
it.
Well, thank you for saying that because.
Because Tom liked it?
Loves this guy.
Oh, my God.
This is Tom's new BFF.
Okay, just so we know, cancel Tom as a guest. I can't handle it. I cannot handle it. I can't handle
it. Well, can we talk about Terry in terms of what you just said? What is going on here? Is it a healthy sexuality?
No, I believe that he is a serious loner. Like, if he's going to have sex at all, it's going to be with a prostitute.
Wow.
And what I'm trying to figure out is gay or straight. I can't figure that out.
I'm not sure. No.
Because I think he's all over the place. It's one of those guys.
In pansexual,
Every sexual, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think the only people that he's having sex with is prostitutes. That's my better strip club or something.
Now,
so to me, I get sad when I see guys like this, because I think his only way of like relating, and this is his way of having connection with people. And sorry.
So accurate.
Yeah.
Now, how many things can you put in your butt medically? Like, what's the limit to things you should be putting in your butt? It's not like the vagina. It's not as stretchy.
No, it's not meant for that. The vagina is meant for a baby's head.
Yes.
It is designed for that.
Don't I know that.
And it goes back to normal again, more or less. Pretty much. I mean, compared to if you did that to an anus.
Correct.
Where things would tear, the muscles would tear. So, I mean, it's designed for stool, and even those, you know, there's a little limit to how much the diameter of that should be. Let's say about the okay sign.
Is the right amount for your browns?
The okay sign is the limit. I mean, you didn't say the
girth. You're saying for a brown
I think
should be...
the okay sign about it. I think the okay sign.
So if it's any larger than the okay.
What is brown talk? I have not been included.
We're in it right now.
That's what I thought.
Okay. We're doing it right now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So you're saying that anything going into your bum should probably be...
Either way, I think what comes in and goes out should be about the same thing. I don't think there should be a difference necessarily.
Sure.
I think the okay sign is about... And you can test the limits of the human experience. I know many do.
Oh, yeah.
But just understand, I think the okay sign is...
Okay. Okay.
And nobody accused me of making any kind of racial whatever. But as soon as you
what do you mean?
Oh, you don't know that the people make accusations every time somebody has an okay sign?
No.
Or a 3-point shot, you're a racial supremacist or something?
Jesus, no. I'm not even.
I'm not even. The only thing I know politically anymore about myself is I'm not a racist.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what else I am yet. I'm lost in politics, but I know I'm not a racist. I know
no,
that.
No, so, I didn't think you were.
But I'm not racially perfect. I have to watch myself all the time. You know
really?
What I mean?
We feel... I think all of us do.
I think all of us have to, like,
your privilege, Dr. Drew.
Checking my privilege. I've been studying the history of the Civil War, both the lead up and the aftermath lately, and it's helped me with some of my blind spots.
Really?
Yeah. I think we all have blind spots, and we owe it to our countrymen, our peers that have not been treated properly, that we do that. We study that.
That's very accurate. Yeah. However, I'm so self-obsessed.
Well, you're a comedian, so I'm not going to be able to have this conversation with anybody anymore.
There's other people?
Yeah, I know. What is that about comedians? That they're all like that?
Well, I think because we're so messed up. I'm just trying to get through the day and take care of my kids. We'll get this. Let's go more videos.
Are we done with Terry? I don't know.
I mean, we have more if you want.
Terry, I want to see somebody else.
Do you want to see the finale?
Bring Terry back for Tom.
All right. Well, we'll find out. Tom's
it's Tom's favorite video, so the finale is for Tom.
Oh no, please do. Actually, I'm sorry, but please bring the last bit of this clip. Just pull it up and let him. Yeah, I do want to see what he's talking about.
I'm gonna try out the sleeve now, and like I said, I'm really kind of disappointed that this won't be vibrating too. But I think with this thing going off in my butt,
disappointed.
It's gonna be okay. And this has some really weird knobbies on the inside there.
Ew. Oh, no. It looks like a monster from like Alien or something. The movie, the mouth of
Alien.
Open
in one end.
Oh Jesus!
Whoa!
Wow!
Ow! Huh?
It's pretty tight.
Okay.
I wasn't expecting that. Oh yeah. Damn it! Oh fuck it! Oh fuck! 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 Ah! Oh.
That's the worst part.
Oh.
He likes
it.
He likes it or doesn't like it?
He likes it.
Damn it. So I think that's what you call a ruined orgasm, because I didn't want to come and it felt really good, and that thing buzzing my butt just sent me off and I wasn't expecting it. So I want to try this again with
the
vibrators.
He ruined his orgasm. I ruined my soul.
I know.
Thank you for that.
I know.
That.
And how
Why did I have to see that? At least I'm with Tom, knowing that it's some special moment for him, that he loves it. It would be meaningful. You're just torturing me with that.
I know.
Here are some reactions for you to analyze.
Okay.
There's no end to how many cool guys are out there.
All right. I'll tell you. Yeah. Yeah.
they do?
Hi there, guys.
Cool shit.
It's Pete again, and I'm here to do a little video.
No.
I wanted to use this butt vibrating toy that I bought, this new one, and I thought I'd try it. I've seen it.
Damn it, Blue Band. He, look, he's stroking his hog as he's talking. It's
Christina's
so
reaction.
Annoying.
Is Christina's reaction there? Oh, there we go. Here we are.
Stop.
I used it, of course, and then I went to look, and they didn't send any batteries.
What's his hand doing?
I don't want it. Stop the damn video.
Thank you. You were tortured by your husband. You tortured me.
I'm sure that's
how does that work? Is that the way this works? And he's getting the last laugh.
I'm going to vomit. I'm
going to
vomit. Always.
I'm going to vomit, too.
I know. But I wanted to ask you about the ruined orgasm. So does that happen in real life?
Men like to, you know, delay as much as they can. Okay. And then, you know, do it on their own terms.
So it's just a premature, he's just saying.
Just not, it got away from him. The orgasm that got away.
Oh, poor Terry.
Oh, my God.
Boo, hoodle, hoodle.
What is next? Okay. What sort of torture do you have for your next?
No. I mean, that was what we wanted you to watch.
Oh, that's it. Oh, I thought you said there was five clips in there.
Oh, no, five clips of Terry.
Oh, five versions of Terry.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, thank God that was enough.
You're smart. You got it.
I
you didn't need to see it.
How did your mom's house happen?
What do you mean, in general?
I mean, were you guys sitting home watching shit like this?
And
then thought, this is funny. We had to share it with the world.
It did. Actually, it started with this Gigi Allen documentary called Hated. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No,
it was Todd Phillips' first film.
Yeah.
And it's about Gigi Allen, the punker. And he was completely mentally ill. And he would shove like bananas in his butt at shows. And Tyler and I just started laughing so much. And we'd even see these dark movies together
and just laugh.
Was that Shark movie? No, there was some movie where someone was getting killed. I'm trying to remember. Tom will know the movie.
And
we
you start cracking up.
And we both start laughing. And this is like second date. And we look over and we're like,
second
we're
date.
Love. Yeah.
But did you immediately say we should share this with the world or?
Oh, no. It started as a sensibility.
Okay. And then the horrible things made you laugh.
Yeah. And then we thought when we started a show and we thought, well, this is what we like. Well, maybe there's people out there that enjoy it, too. And we didn't think anybody would, and then.
But
you know.
You're like me. You don't. You know, 3 seconds of Terry is sufficient.
It's enough.
And yet, your husband likes to torture you with 10 minutes of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's crazy. He watches serial killer shows.
No.
That's all he watches.
No. What I'm trying to get at is.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't really like watching these things.
No, not Terry.
Terry doesn't count.
I see. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Terry is sort of over the top. He wasn't something that you guys.
Yes.
Formed your love around.
Can I tell you what? I do know what I like about crazy people and watching these things.
Yeah.
Because I grew up, my mother was a borderline, borderline personality disorder.
Should you explain to people what that is?
You should explain it. I lived it. I'm still traumatized.
It's people are highly dysregulated, very unstable sense of themselves, unregulated aggression and hostility.
A lot of anger.
Hostility, yelling, and chaos in relationships and fear of abandonment. Because the classic statement is, I hate you, don't leave me.
Oh, so true. Yeah, it's like she was a porcupine. Like I would go to hug her and it was... everything's black and white too. A lot of black and white thinking.
And by black and white, she means it's all this way or all that way. And you flip back and forth. It's called splitting. She's all split inside and she splits other people and distortions and lies that they believe.
Oh, yeah. Paranoia, severe paranoia. So
people suffer with borderline. They suffer. And it's treatable now. We can really kind of deal with it.
I've heard that. Mm-hmm. The problem is a lot of the times people that have it don't see treatment from what I understand.
And it's not cheap. You know, you got to do real treatment. So
it's pretty aggressive.
And it's a dialectical behavioral therapy for those that are interested.
Yes.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So anyway, so mom is that. Dad's an alcoholic.
Destined for a career in comedy.
A number one.
Marrying a comedian. We're going all the way.
Of course. Full throttle, man. My wiring is such that I had no other choice, but I'd either be in porn or in show, comedian. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, you said that with such clarity. Explain why it's that way. You know what I mean? Well, seriously, I've always wondered. I've never had anybody really cop to it quite like that.
Oh.
So why is it that way?
Well, I mean, the only way I got attention from... I was always compliant, right? I never had a voice growing up. So I have this incredible need to be heard and to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And also that's what I got rewarded for, was being funny growing up.
And was there a moment at which you... I think we're going into the last segment here, was the deep dive. Right?
Yeah, let's
okay,
do it.
We're doing it.
Bang.
We're going to deep
bingo,
dive
bingo,
in
bongo.
The comedian. It's Christina P, everybody.
Yeah.
And when you first got addicted to it, you remember the first moment when the applause or the laughter or something? Like,
oh, the validate.
There was.
Here's the funny, people always say that. I've heard that. Like, well, you're the high of the approval. Yes, there's that. And back in, I don't know, was it 2003 when I started? But there's also the suffering, which I really enjoy. That's really what the trouble, that's the truth of it, is to stay with stand-up. To start it, you go for the approval. To stay with it through the torture of it, staying in shitty, scary motels,
yeah.
Being, especially as a woman doing the road, you got to be really cray-cray looking for that approval. But yeah, I'm looking for approval. I want my mom to tell me that I'm good. I want my dad to tell me that I'm finally good. But the suffering is sublime. That's really what it's all about. The push pull.
And that's where the
the
goth thing came in.
Oh yeah, so dark, so yeah. Dark. Oh, I was so depressed. Well, I mean, look at that's a normal reaction to an abnormal childhood, right?
Sure, but yeah. The goth thing is the suffering thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's
I
not
loved
just
it.
The depression. It's the making suffering a style.
Oh, so good, yeah. Too, back then, before Hot Topic. I'd really work for that, too. Like, go to Melrose and
some
go.
Some weird crosses hanging off your ears.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. Black hair, blue hair, mohawk, angry music,
mohawk.
Too. Yeah,
where
it was very angry.
Oh, gentlemen, picture. We need a picture.
I'll give you one. I'll find
oh,
one somewhere.
Oh, gentlemen.
Oh, so angry. But I think why I like these clips so much and what I like about the dark side is because I don't know what, this is going to sound really crazy, but I don't always know why people act the way they do. I'm fascinated by humans.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But the outlying behavior is always revelatory. You always can you get revelation from seeing extreme.
Yes.
And I agree with you. People are fucking funny.
Oh, they're great.
At their worst, they're still funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus it helps me understand what normal behavior is, because both my parents were completely not within range normalcy.
And so you have trouble.
Well, yeah. Like this is before I was in aggressive therapy, but I would watch movies with my husband and like somebody would be crying or have a reaction and I would have to go, why is that person reacting that way? I don't understand what's going on emotionally.
Oh, so you're a psychopath.
No, so, not that. I don't understand feelings.
Yeah,
like,
that's what psychopaths
have to. No, not a psychopath at
They don't
all.
Understand feelings.
That's
and they have, to, they have to pretend to have.
Oh, no.
They have to pretend to have feelings.
I have too many feelings. Yeah. I'd say I'm very sensitive to some. I'm overly sensitive.
Right, but you can't track people's feelings.
That's what it is. Yeah. I can't always go like, well, why?
Is
so I like the weird stuff because I'm like, oh, that's definitely abnormal. I know that. And I get amused by it. It's also a form of like, I don't know. I'm laughing at my mother too. And that's how I got back at her as a kid, because I couldn't fight her because she was an adult, but I could, you know.
It seems very adaptive.
Get one over on her.
Yeah, that seems really adaptive because you can't fight with somebody like that. You can't. But they can be quite entertaining and quite funny, you know, if they weren't being abusive, right?
Yeah.
And so it kind of keeps them at a distance.
Oh, yeah. And I could mock her. I could do her accent perfectly and talk some shit, you know.
Let's hear the accent.
Okay, what would you like me to say? She was always getting into fights with wait staff. Like, if we get seated at a restaurant, this motherfucker sat me next to the toilet. I'm not a fucking piece of shit, you stupid bitch. Like, that kind of... She was always starting fights, like you said. Like,
sure,
always
she's
angry.
Borderline, not a sociopath.
No, she became... schizophrenic later in life. She lost touch with reality. Paranoia, and then she became a shut-in. And
that's
then by
the
time...
Stuff. Yeah,
she just was completely
was
detached. Hungarian.
Sounds
so
Russian.
So trauma. Oh, yeah. But the trauma, and both my parents had so much trauma just from growing up in a communist country that they had no hope. Like, it was hope to have a kid. Oh, my God.
With the only child?
Yeah, that's what made it even worse.
Yes. Yeah, people are, don't you want to be the only child? Like, not when you have crazy parents. you get it all then.
That's the problem. So I spent a lot of time hiding.
But your dad seemed like hiding who you were?
Hiding who I was and physically hiding. I spent a lot of time alone, listening to records, watching American television, like learning what
American
normal.
American television.
Like, well, because my parents are Hungarians. So like, that's how I learned English and I learned what about how Americans acted.
Wait, I'm confused. When were you not born here?
I was born in Canada, but they escaped from Hungary in 69.
And so they were speaking Hungarian all the time?
Yeah.
Do you speak Hungarian?
Poorly now, but yeah,
what
at some point.
What a great, tough language.
I know, it's terrible. It's very hard.
It's terrible that you let it go, though. I mean,
you think
so?
Yes. So fucking useless. I don't know.
Hungarians are smart people.
I know.
Ridiculous.
Not me, but the other ones. Somehow it skipped over.
All 9 volumes of St. Thomas Aquinas.
I don't know them. I don't know them all. The Summa?
Yeah, you know 4 of them, not all 9 of them.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
No, but I did want to bring up trauma with you because I've been in therapy for like 8 years now.
Yeah.
And I always thought trauma applied to big events. Like,
it can. There can be chronic trauma. I mean, having parents like that is chronically traumatic. And that's more injurious, right? Because at least with a big event, there's a chance for resiliency and repair and stuff. Yeah. But if the source of the trauma is the person that's supposed to be repairing you, you're screwed, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I had that.
Yeah. Let's talk about your trauma.
I had that too. So I had a crazy mom too.
Yeah.
And
what kind of crazy?
Not that crazy, but in that flavor.
A bit borderline-y.
It's mixed thing with lots of yelling and inability to be available for, you know, you had to be a perfect extension of whatever her needs were all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, the big, aside from the extreme abuse emotionally, never good for the little boys when their mom isn't worried.
That's a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm dissociated just thinking about it. So yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. You went there, huh? Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah. By dissociating, I mean like you sort of you shut down, you go out of body. It's all this stuff. And,
which by the way, I didn't realize I had been doing that for a long time.
You don't realize it just becomes your means of regulating.
Yes.
It's just whenever you have a known, that's why you couldn't track those feelings in the movies, because you're sort of disconnected from them.
Right.
And so therapy, so what I was going to say was before I dissociated, was what I really didn't get was the rapprochement stuff, which is the refueling at mom and then going out in the world, then refueling, the going and coming. No.
No, me neither, man. No.
None of that. And that's what therapy needed to be a lot of that and a lot of connecting to feelings, right? I'm sure you're doing the same stuff. And when you come into therapy now, how do you start your sessions?
It's all about me.
But what do you start with?
I sit down and then like, she's very tabula rasa with me. She does not let me.
Perfect.
She doesn't even let me. I'm like, hi, how are you? Like, she's like, great, go ahead. Like, and I just ramble into whatever the fuck it is happening.
And happening, or is it all about what's happening?
Feelings.
Feelings.
I'm feeling good. That's, this week was kind of.
That's the thing. Because before therapy, I bet it was kind of hard to do that.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is going to sound weird to normal people.
Right.
But to have to go in and go, all right, what am I feeling? That's a challenge for me to write. Okay, I'm going to figure out what I'm feeling and try to express it to you. And then they create a space where they reflect it back to you and create a safe space for amplification of it. So you have a talented therapist. That's good. They don't all do it that way.
Brilliant.
How'd you find her?
This woman saved my life. And I, if I may recommend, I found her at the Wright Institute, which is here in Los Angeles. They have sliding scale therapy. It's for therapists that are in the last hours of their
training.
So that person that you see is supervised by the uppers, whoever.
People, yeah.
So your case gets looked over by several people. Yeah. And then when they go off to their private practice, you can go with them.
Is that what you did?
Yes.
Yeah.
And 8 years and this woman has just saved my life.
Good for you. Why did you go?
Well, because I was 34 or something around there. And my mother was just torturing me. I remember I got off the phone with her. This is when I was speaking to her. And I just started crying. And I had a stroke. I'm in the hospital. And then we go to the hospital and it's not a stroke. She just passed out at Lamps R Us. And
you and Tom?
Tom, yes.
You were together then?
We were together. We just started dating.
You're lucky that you could deal with a relationship.
Well, yeah. And here's
but you bonded around this bullshit.
Yeah.
These horrible videos.
Yeah. You know what? I'm surprised that I could have. And I was actually very lucky in love, and I always had wonderful boyfriends, and I didn't have shit dick.
Well, that's because your dad sounded like a real good guy. He did. When I've talked to you about him before, I know he's got some shortcomings, and I know he's an alcoholic and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's tons of people are drug addicts and alcoholics that are really good people.
Yeah.
And
I
get the feeling he was sort of in that zone.
He's a narcissist. He's a bit narcissistic.
Like alcoholic narcissist. Though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But not, he was never like beating the shit out of me or telling me.
No, and I bet he was a man
of shit.
I bet he had feelings and I bet he was.
Yeah. He would get broody, you know, listen to Hendrix in the dark, kind of weird shit. And I'd come home like, hey, now. But he wouldn't terrify me or anything like that. No. Yeah. No.
So that's so that was your you had at least a decent model for attachment to a male figure.
Yeah. And I you know
I'm not perfect. I mean obviously it's Tom. I'm just saying. but it worked.
So wait, hold on. So the trauma stuff. Oh, I was gonna ask you, do you think there's ever a time when are you recovered enough? Because you're talking about you're like normal people won't understand this conversation we're having. Meaning
will or will not?
No, you said you're like people listening to this,
gonna
normal people.
It's gonna be hard. They have to listen carefully.
Correct. Yeah. Because we're kind of also speaking in a therapy shorthand, but the two of us.
A little bit. I'm trying to do it though in ways that I know I've expressed it to people before that they can receive it.
So. Right. So wait, but I'm because okay. So if you've got some trauma and you're in therapy, basically your brain, the wires are crossed, so to speak.
They're not there. So what happens is a part of yourself just is like left.
Right.
And you like unwire that part, and there's a part of you going hello. But you're going, I'm done with that. I that part of me, that experience, I'm done with
the
I'm
negative with things. You mean the hurt,
whatever. The trauma you just leave behind. Your cognitive brain goes, well, I don't think about that anymore. I don't have to deal with it anymore. But right. It leaves a dysregulated spot where you can't regulate your emotions. And it's this injured part that's always needing attention. And one of my little pet theories is that's where the repetition compulsion comes from.
Right.
So it makes you attracted to people and places that are just like the traumatizing individuals. So you end up reliving the trauma over and over again.
Right, which is why.
You're attracted to these things.
Right.
Not that you want to repeat it. You're just attracted to those
kinds of people. It feels familiar. It may not feel good, but it feels familiar.
It feels familiar, but you're magically drawn to be around these people.
Well, that's what comedy is for me. That's right. What stand-up is. I should be specific.
Trauma.
It is.
So
it's literally.
Therapy you out of your stand-up?
Do I what?
We're going to therapize you out of your stand-up career?
Thankfully, I can always access that fucked up part of my brain. Good thing it's always there. But it's that push-pull of the audience. Will they love me tonight? Will they hate me tonight? Will they love me? Will they hate me? Am I validated? Am I not validated?
Oh,
I'm a piece
so
of shit.
Like
I'm
that.
The best.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I don't like it. It feels familiar. It doesn't feel good. But
you're attracted to it.
That's why I'm attracted.
Thus, you live in the shitty hotels in order to deal with that.
Correct.
But also, the shitty hotels confirms I'm a shitty person.
There you go. Oh, it's such a good loop. But no, now my career's in a better place. I don't stay in shitty hotels. I do stand up very differently than I did.
And we gotta get you a little bit healed before these children are reared.
Oh, let me tell you, I've already doubled up.
Okay,
on
good.
Sessions,
good.
I am there.
And make sure they can't see these videos.
Oh, yeah. No. We're it's all in the vaults.
Okay.
Home life is very normal.
Good.
But is there a time in therapy where, the person who's in therapy, your brain isn't working right. So you go to the therapist and now this person's going to kind of train you how to think better in a sense. Try to have reactions.
I would argue that's not good therapy.
What? Well, you also the empathy in them.
It's not training you
to
think. That's giving you the space to feel.
Correct.
And to connect.
Correct.
That's a very different thing.
Well,
that will sound weird to people. Yeah, and she may offer some advice and some feedback and stuff as you're talking. But as you
right.
said, for the most part, she's just sitting there listening
to you. But is there ever a time are you ever recovered enough where you don't have to do that extra step? Like, okay, the thing happens, I'm dissociating.
No, you always have the injury.
Right.
It just doesn't bother you as much.
So like what you just did when you were like, oh, I'm dissociating and we're back. Like you just kind of go.
It doesn't bother me. What happened days in the past, I probably have a panic attack on top of it or something or anxiety or something. Now it's like, oh, there's that old mechanism again. It's like, God damn it.
Interesting.
I
and
can,
you feel.
I can regulate.
You don't
feel whole.
Feel, it.
Feel regulated. Don't, I don't,
wow.
Not bothered by it. I though did a Rorschach test. A friend of mine had me do a Rorschach because I was fascinated by personality structure and stuff. And God damn it, on the Rorschach, all of my stuff just showed up.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, and I'm like, God, I thought I was over this stuff. It's still sitting there.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's just, your personality really doesn't change. Your personality is set by about the age of 5. And there's parts of it that get into the act and become problematic, or they just kind of sits there. And the mind is now just kind of sitting there more.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, right? I mean,
it's fascinating.
Personality is a separate thing than what we've been talking about, right? Who we are, our personality structure, is a lot, a very complicated thing.
And what's that determined by?
Probably
is that
genetics, yeah. And then some early stuff too, you know.
Trauma.
But the trauma, I think of the trauma less involved with, I'm sure it is involved with personality. Otherwise, why would you be a psychopath? But I, you catch that?
You're not I did, listening. But I was hoping it wasn't directed at me. I was like, is he talking about psychopaths or me? I don't know where to laugh.
So, I think it more in terms of the capacity to regulate emotions. We don't in our culture, in the United States, we don't think about this very much, is that we talk about mood, good or bad, Anxiety, yeah. Yes or no. But it turns out there's sort of a more general thing called regulation. Like you can feel okay in your skin all the time.
That's, yeah, right? So my shrink talks about that.
Yeah. And
self-regulate.
So, yeah, you can regulate yourself. You can soothe yourself. You can tolerate emotions. You can connect to spontaneous emotions that wash over us and not be overtaken by them.
Right.
You can not be overtaken by other people's emotions.
Right.
And yet, at the all time, feel them at the same time, which is... We are severe codependent too, which kind of
absolutely
goes
and
yeah.
Other people's shit would seep into me
like crazy.
Yeah,
and so there's contagion of other people's shit, right? Which is somewhat normal. Which is like when you see somebody else suffering, you kind of just contagion. But I had this thing you'll relate to, which is it would just over. I'd just be like, oh my god, I got to help that person.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Well, what that really is it's mobilizing my pain.
Right.
Therefore, I have to make it stop in them. So my
pain. So you're comfortable again.
So my pain gets better. But I thought it was their pain. So in your brain, you're doing this altruistic thing. In fact, you're just trying to regulate your own bullshit. Yeah. It's why.
So fascinating.
I know. It's why codependency is a kind of narcissism.
It is, isn't it? Because it's really about you. It's not about helping the addict or helping other people.
It can be if you have a boundary. And it's an asset if you can hold those boundaries, if you just learn how to sort of be present and not get overtaken and have to rescue and all this nonsense. That's nonsense. That's about you. That's not what that person needs.
Right. So when you're treating people with addictions and stuff, is that what you have to kind of...
Yeah. Well, that's why I needed more... I knew I needed therapy because people, the borderlines were just wiping the floor with me, you know? And I was like, something is not right. I'm trying to help them and they are just clocking me. They're just like calling me at 4 a.m. and demanding things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, yeah. And if you don't do it, you're the worst person in the world. And it's like, oh my God. And so, and I got very, very, very good at being able to be present and feel all kinds of things and not be overtaken by it and know the difference between what was my feeling and what was somebody else's feeling.
Right. And that's huge, too, to someone that if you're,
like
you know, denied feelings, as a child, then you're like,
but that's a big asset.
This?
It's a huge asset. I use it all the time. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I can do it to you, I suppose.
Okay, let's go. What are we doing?
I'm trying to.
What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to feel.
Oh gosh, feelings.
Is your stuff like all in here? Is it all a big knot in the stomach? Is that where a lot of stuff was?
Sorry. Early stuff. Yeah, I would just get. I would just diarrhea all the time.
Like
stomach
problems. I feel this like knot.
Tummy.
In your stomach, like. Ew.
And then later.
Because that's all anxiety, really.
Anxiety's
right?
in the stomach, and then I would get. I do this. Shoulders up. A lot of head tension, head and neck. Tension too. It's all cerebral for me. I'm very.
And yet, did you have a sort of a rich social life with your peers or something?
Yeah.
Huh.
Very. I was very.
Isn't that funny? And yet, you were able to pull that. Yeah.
Resilience is what my therapist calls it.
Well, it's funny. It's more than resilience. It's a skill. It's really a skill. And then again, it's back to comedy because that's a social interaction.
Well, I had to read people growing up, right? Had to read what mom was doing, had to read what dad was doing.
Your mom would have been very, very difficult. That's the challenge, reading a borderline. But that's such a special skill. I'm not sure. But maybe what you did to entertain her to keep her...
Yeah.
Off her rocker.
Yeah.
It's that feels very but what I'm feeling is that it was so much, so long, it was just so fatiguing.
Yeah,
did you have fatigue all the
all
time?
All the time. Yeah. Exhausted.
Oh my God.
Exhausted. And after therapy
but
too, I used to be tired a lot.
But this is the
stomach.
I
know, you got it, dude. Stomach. I wouldn't eat. I lost so much weight when I was a teenager. I was just smoking cigarettes. I'd chain
smoke.
How do you
deal with it now? Because it's still there a little bit.
Oh, anxiousness and such.
The stomach thing.
I do so much. I do Pilates.
When you're around
meditation.
Your kids, does it get in the way?
Oh yeah, anxiety. Yeah. Mm.
But there's a bit in the way. You know, like you can't
dissociate. Yeah.
Mm.
I know it's terrible. Mm. No, that's what I deal with. I struggle with. I do it in therapy. I deal with that in therapy.
I did too.
When you're with your kids too?
No, in therapy. Oh, I know. I would dissociate in therapy. I would have times when I would go into like fugue states and I was like, not knew what happened. She'd go, okay, your time's up. I'm like, it's like, oh.
Wow. So wait, are you supposed to dissociate?
Well,
in
I don't
therapy?
Know. That was very powerful for me because I realized that those spots that I would just kind of drop into were like dead spots. Mm. And I think they were a major source of anxiety for me.
Dead spots. And
they just sort of filled in. They just sort of went away. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. A lot of people, when I used to do the show That's Deep Bro, would write to me with issues of anxiety and depression. Those were like the top two things I would always hear about. Anxiety, depression.
They're extremely common and they have many different settings. In other words, by settings, I don't mean this kind of setting. I mean the circumstance of depression, anxiety, are infinite. It's like, you know, fever. Depression is like fever or rash. Myriad of different settings and circumstances.
God damn it.
Have we bummed everybody out now? We went from Terry to psychopathic Christina. We have covered a lot of ground. Gentlemen in the back room, do you have questions, gentlemen?
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Did you know Christina was so fucked up?
I had a sense.
Well, I will say this. I think I advocate therapy. That's what my biggest thing. And when I talk about this, I always feel weird talking about stuff, but I don't know.
I think it helps people. Therapy, that's why I talk about it too. It's like, look, we're all humans. These are common things. These are these brain central nervous system phenomena. And living in today's world, everybody's got some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I think something happened in this country after World War II or I don't know what.
Yeah, they're traumatized. Yeah, and therapy didn't come around until when? The 80s?
At least.
Really? Yeah, so our parents had no clue.
Discourse about it. And they were all narcissistic and injured us. Totally. And And so and then there's more immigrants that come over that are traumatized from Vietnam. And all, you know, we're a highly traumatized population over here.
Definitely.
And just think about it this way in this country. Who are the nudniks that thought it was a good idea to get on a ship that they'd likely die on and come to shore someplace where there's no one survives?
Yeah.
These are the ones that came, mostly.
Oh, the booze bags.
Yeah, mostly. That's who likes that kind of thing, is alcohol.
Adventure.
Yeah, and then amongst those nutty adventurers, they finally set up shop here. The craziest of the crazy thought they'd get in a wagon and go west.
True.
And so you wonder where all the mass shooters are out here.
Right.
You know what I mean? West. I think there's something to do with the genetics of all of us.
Yeah, the alcoholics. And then they might wrap their tour bus in a poster of themselves, shirtless, too, and tour across the country. Did you know that Bert has a tour bus?
No, we got to get him in here, though.
Oh, you got to set aside 3 episodes for Bert. I'm fucked up.
I invented Bert Kreischer. Do you know this?
Let's talk about it.
You don't know this?
I think you may, but tell the audience.
He was on Loveline and I don't know why he was on. He was sort of as the big party boy from that magazine or something.
Yeah.
He was declared the biggest partier in the land.
Van Wilder was based on him.
Right. And Van Wilder just come out or something and he was promoting some stuff. And we were talking and he got into this story about robbing a train in Russia, the machine.
Yeah.
And he'd never told it before. And I made him come back the next night and tell it again because I thought it was so crazy. And then he started telling it publicly.
Say, you're responsible.
Bert Kreischer was born.
That's your fault.
So I'm sorry to his
thanks,
wife.
Thanks, Dr. Drew.
Mostly.
Oh, yeah. Leanne's got to hate that.
Leanne has got to be sainted, right?
Oh, for sure.
How is that? How?
I don't know, dude. We should have her on here, too.
Oh.
Let's get them
comedian
both.
Comedian wives, yes.
Oh my God. Have to be even more messed up than the comics. Codependence?
Yeah, yeah.
Heavy, right?
Yes. We'll start with Leanne. She'd be good. Because she's very forthcoming and she's lovely. And,
oh, she's great.
And we'll all feel bad for her. Sympathy built. Okay. So gentlemen, are we wrapping things up here? Is there more to be said?
No, we covered all the bases.
Oh, Christina, awesome. You said it all.
I said it all, man.
This is a privilege. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you for torturing me with the videos. I'm sure many more will come.
Of course.
And...
I'm so excited for this podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Subscribe. Watch us on YouTube.
And send us ideas, you know, if you want us to go in a different direction or something. So the idea is Christina tortures me with videos. You send me your questions. We'll get some calls going eventually. And you send videos in too if you want.
Oh,
you send video questions and stuff too.
Video questions.
Or I'll analyze video also.
I don't know if you want that.
Yeah, send that to the email at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com.
Right, check it out. Again, or call with your voicemails at 818-253-1693. And if you have advice, the directions you'd like to see the show go, I'm always interested in taking direction and hearing from you all. So we appreciate it very much. Thank you to Tom and Christina. And again, review us at iTunes. Check us out at youtube.com/yourmomshousepodcast on Fridays at noon when the video drops. I'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the drdrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.